for gravitational wave astronomy. Thank you.
Thank you, Nico. Okay, so I'll try to give a status report of the interface of numerical relativity and analytical relativity, mainly focusing on the construction of waveform templates for binary black holes. Before I start, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to give this talk. Well, I think this question is rather obvious now, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Why NR for gravitational wave astronomy? In my view, most importantly, the numerical simulations of binary black holes now are able to provide inputs to tune, calibrate templates, which can coherently model the in-spiral, merger, and ring down of binary black holes. And probably in the recent future, compact binaries involving neutron stars. And this will significantly improve the distance reach of gravitational wave searches from heavy mass binary black holes. This is an example showing the horizon distance that advanced LIGO can see. For example, this is the distance where advanced LIGO can see optimally oriented binaries merging as a function of the total mass. And as you can see, the search using the in-spiral merger ring down templates can see as far as like 12 gigaparsec, while just if you just search for the in-spiral part, you wouldn't be able to go that far. Similarly, you can expect some improvement in the parameter estimation. This plot gives an example of the sort of typical improvement that you get in the estimation of the sky location of the binary and the luminosity distance from two sort of canonical binaries, an equal mass binary of 10 solar mass total mass and an equal mass binary of 100 solar mass total mass. And these distributions are, this is sort of all sky distribution of errors if the binaries are located at a luminosity distance of 1 gigaparsec in advanced LIGO, advanced Virgo network. And the red traces are the search using an in-spiral merger ring down templates, and the black traces are the search using just PN templates. So as you expect, you get a lot of improvement in the search for a high mass object if you use the in-spiral merger ring down templates. And I should also say that the numerical relativity of sources other than the compact binaries, like supernovae, although are unable to provide accurate waveform templates at the moment, will be able to provide very useful information to sort of tune the searches, especially burst searches in LIGO and Virgo. So currently there are at least two main sort of paradigms for constructing analytical waveform templates, coherently modeling the in-spiral merger and ring down of binary black holes. One is based on the so-called effective one-body formalism. So the idea is to map the two-body dynamics into an one-body dynamics in the presence of an effective deformed metric. And you can introduce several free parameters in this model, which you can, and in general, these parameters are functions of the mass ratio and spins in general. And you can propose some ansatz for the parameter, sort of the physical parameter dependent on some of these free parameter, and you can tune them against numerical simulations. One example is the so-called pseudo 4PN contribution to the potential, which is an essential ingredient for constructing the EOB Hamiltonian. And you can think of several other parameters. So once you sort of calibrate your EOB model, you can match this EOB in spiral plunge waveforms with several quasi-normal modes at some appropriate matching frequency, and construct a full waveform modeling the in-spiral merger and ring down. An alternative model is sort of based on a complete phenomenological approach. You construct a hybrid NRPN waveform by matching standard post-Newtonian waveforms with numerical simulations in a region where both calculations are assumed to be valid. And then you can try to parameterize these hybrid waveforms using some appropriate fitting functions, which is motivated by the post-Newtonian theory and black hole perturbation theory in the in-spiral and ring-down part. So you can, for example, write the phase function, the Fourier domain, as a as a post-Newtonian-like series, and you can basically determine this coefficients by tuning them against numerical simulations. So the UOB model has been very successful in reproducing or calibrating against the some of the most accurate numerical simulations that we have at the moment. This is the recent paper by Buonanno et al. From 2009, where they calibrate the EOB model against an equal mass non-spinning simulation from the Caltech-Cornell collaboration. So these are the sort of parameters that they tune against this waveform. As I said, the pseudo-4PN coefficient in the potential, and there is the spurious pole in the per day expansion of the luminosity function, the flux, of course. And several parameters determine the matching time of the plunge waveform with the quasi-normal modes. And at the end, they produce a very beautiful result. And this plot shows the comparison of the instantaneous frequency and the amplitude in the time domain against the numerical simulation. For example, the red curve here is the EOB, the tuned amplitude. And the blue is the actual numerical amplitude, and you can see that they are almost indistinguishable. And similarly, the blue dashed one is the instantaneous frequency of the numerical waveform, and the red dashed is the calibrated EOB model. So they match really well. So at the end, you can get a model which is faithful. Within like 0.9999% in the case of this equal mass non-spinning simulation by the Caltech Cornell group. And this plot shows the H of T of the EOB and NR, and it's a zoom version. And this shows the phase difference and the relative amplitude difference. So the phase difference is of the order of 0.01 radians, and the amplitude agreement is like 0.08. So extremely small. And there are alternative ways of calibrating the EOB model, which is pursued by Damur and Nagar. So they introduce a different way of calibration. So as I said, this is the EOB potential. They introduce two extra pseudo-PN terms. For example, this is the 5PN contribution and the 6PN contribution, and they have, which they calibrate against the numerical simulations. And they have an improved way of resumming the radiation reaction force, which is apparently better. And they introduce many so-called next to quasi-circular corrections to the waveform, and calibrate the use the numerical simulation to calibrate the maximum gravitational amplitude. And at the end, they come up with an extremely large, extremely close. Reproduction of this actual numerical waveform within the EOB model. And there has been some effort to incorporate the spins in the EOB model also. For more information, you can listen to the talk by Ipan and Barros. So this is some results. This is sort of essentially the same plot showing the consistency between the instantaneous amplitude and the frequency of the EOB model with one equal mass, equal spin simulation, where the spins are equal magnitude but anti-aligned with this 0.43 spin value. And this particular calibrated model can very accurately reproduce this particular numerical waveform to very good accuracy. And these plots show, like in the earlier slide, the consistency between the H of T, the gravitational waveform of the EOB model and the numerical waveform. And this shows the phase difference and the sort of amplitude difference. They are extremely consistent. And there has been some theoretical work to improve the spinning Hamiltonian in the UOB model. You can see that you can hear more about this in these talks. There are also some work which is trying to address the more sort of urgent data analysis issues. So the idea is to come up with some phenomenological model which can be used for detection in LIGO in the sort of enhanced LIGO era in the case of spinning systems. So there are a number of data analysis-oriented issues if you introduce a sort of full spinning template family. The most obvious one is that a spin introduces six extra parameters in a non-spinning model. And if you you have to start with sort of like eight-dimensional template family. And previous experience in LIGO, and this sort of, for example, this study has shown that if you have a large dimensional template family, then sort of your false alarm rate is proportional to the sort of dimensionality of the template bank, or the number of templates in your bank. So it's not always advantageous to use a full dimensional spinning template family. In fact, the study has found that the study has compared a search using just the non-spinning post-Eudorian templates against a phenomenological spinning template family proposed by Bonanno, Chen, and Vallisneri. And they actually found that for a search using a non-spinning template is equally good or sometimes more advantageous than using a search using this phenomenological template family, which actually introduces more degrees of freedom in the searches. Also, because of the larger increase in the false alarms. So if you were to set a threshold corresponding to fixed false alarm rate, then a larger dimensional template family will have to set a higher threshold, which will in turn reduce the efficiency of the search. And the second aspect is that constructing a generic spinning template family will require a systematic exploration of the large spin parameter space, which might not be possible in the very near future in this sort of a couple of year time scale. And apart from that, there are a large number of technical difficulties in implementing a full spinning template bank search in an actual detection pipeline. Probably you know that LIGO has so far done only one search, which includes a spinning template family, which sort of illustrates how hard it actually is to implement a search using the full spinning template family. So you could think of some sort of short-term alternative. One example would be to consider a sort of subfamily of non-processing spins and making use of the degeneracies in the spinning parameter space. You could try to model this class of binaries using just one spin parameter. So one sort of possible candidate would be a spin parameter, which is a combination of individual spins and mass ratios. So you could think of some a parameter which describes the sum of spins plus delta is the mass asymmetry parameter, so the m1 minus m2 divided by total spin, total mass, and the difference of the spins. It turns out that the leading spin-orbit coupling term in the post-Eudorian waveform is sort of dominated by a term like this. So you could imagine that such a spin term would probably capture the dominant effect in the phasing effect in the waveform. So we try to construct a phenomenological template family which can model the aligned spins, aligned or anti-aligned spins, using a single spin parameter. So the idea was to construct the template family using some large set of simulations. So we used some like 24 simulations from the done by the BAM code, mostly by Sasha and Mark Hannum, covering some amount of the sort of binary parameter space. This is that symmetric mass ratio and the spin, where the individual spins are equal. So this is sort of the comparable mass regime, where we have like 24 waveforms. And you can hope to include some, incorporate some analytical results from black hole perturbation theory in the extreme mass ratio limit. And then you could use some other set of simulation, possibly covering more generic parameter family, like unequal spins and non-precessing, sort of precessing spins, and presumably more accurate waveform to basically test the quality of this template family. So we are trying to be blind in that sense. So we use something like, again, 30 simulations. Actually, there are used more than this to sort of test this. So the idea is, I think, quite familiar to all of us. You construct a hybrid waveform by matching the post-Eudorian waveform with some numerical simulations by choosing some appropriate, quote-unquote, matching region where you believe that both calculations are producing reasonable results. and you try to parameterize these which we choose to do in the Fourier domain. And you choose some sort of amplitude function. You introduce a number of phenomenological parameters so that it can describe this waveform in a highly sort of faithful way, in a closed way. So you can sort of propose some ansatz for the amplitude. So this is sort of the in-spiral part, which we can take exactly the calculation from the PN theory. And this is the ring down part, which we can take the dominant quasi-normal mode from the perturbation theory. And then you tune some sort of, you propose some ansatz to fit the numerical waveform in the merger region. And in order to describe the phasing in the Fourier domain, we choose to describe it in terms of a PN-like series, which is you get from the which you can compute in the stationary phase approximation. But instead of getting the PN coefficient, sort of fixing this phenomenological coefficient from PN, we basically estimate that from the numerical waveforms. And at the end, these phenomenological parameters, these psi k, these spacing coefficients, and this sort of amplitude parameter, which describe various characteristic frequencies in this system, in terms of the physical parameters, which are the symmetric mass ratio and the spin parameter that we introduced earlier. And such that in the test mass limit, they reduce to some sort of appropriate or sensible quantities. For example, one of these sort of merger frequency reduces to the frequency of the ISCO of a Kerr black hole with appropriate final spin and mass. And the sort of ring down frequency will reduce the quasi-normal mode frequency of a Kerr black hole and et cetera, et cetera. You can test the quality of this template family by computing the fitting factor with the original hybrid waveforms, which are used to construct this template family. And here's not a big surprise, because this template family is actually calibrated against this family of hybrid waveforms. So apologies for the bad figure. This is a sort of 3D plot. It shows the y-axis is the symmetric mass ratio, and the sort of x-axis is the total mass. And different traces correspond to the different spin values. And the z-axis is the fitting factor. So the sort of summary is that this is the all the phenomenological template family has a fitting factor greater than 0.98 for all range of total masses and mass ratio and spin range is considered here. And the total mass range is like 10 solar mass to 400 solar mass, and the mass ratio is 1 to 4, and the spin range is 0.85 in both directions. Because these hybrid waveforms are equal and unequal mass ratio but equal spins, this template family is actually faithful to this particular hybrid waveform family also. So you get fitting factors, similar fitting factors also. You get a fitting factor greater than 0.97 for this entire parameter space. Then you could see how effectual this template family in capturing more general configurations of spins and mass ratios. So we can select a different set of hybrid waveforms by matching different numerical simulations with including different PN waveforms, like Taylor P4. Most of these waveforms are simulations done by the KT code, the AEI CCD code. Each trace, so the horizontal axis is the total mass, and the vertical axis is the fitting factor in this plot, and this is the sort of faithfulness. And each trace shows the mass ratio and the spin of each black hole. So most of them are equal mass simulations, but unequal values of spin. And there are some unequal mass and unequal spin simulations as well. There is one. This is the Caltech Cornell non-spinning equal mass simulation. So the summary is that the template family is able to capture these more slightly more general spin configurations with fitting factor greater than 0.99 for the sort of entire mass range. But the sort of the faithfulness is not so good because by construction we are reducing the dimensionality of the template bank by one. So by definition, you cannot estimate all the parameters properly. And you could also sort of test the efficiency of these template family in detecting processing spin. But unfortunately, we don't have too many spinning simulations, but we do have a handful of them. So this shows sort of essentially the same plot, the total mass in the horizontal axis and the fitting factor in the vertical axis of this template family with respect to sort of generic processing spin simulations, hybrid waveforms constructed from generic spinning simulations. And there are like four traces. One, the first two are simulation done by the LAMA code, which are equal mass but different values of spin. 0.42 and 0.42, and the second one is 0.15. And the red trace is the RIT simulation with a mass ratio 1.25 with sort of arbitrary spins. And the third one is the a BAM simulation with a mass ratio 3 and a spin of 0.75, the larger black hole. So it seems that this family is able to capture some amount of precision, in particular in the comparable mass regime, but we don't have enough waveforms to make a sort of quantitative statement. But we might be able to get some useful insights from PN. So the argument here is that this template family is able to capture the sort of dominant spin orbit coupling effect. So you could try to see a similar effect in the post-Newtonian spinning binaries. So you could generate generic spinning binaries in post-Newtonian theory with arbitrary spin values and mass ratio and see how efficient a template family describing some aligned spin where the two spins are basically squeezed into a single spin parameter, similar to basically the same spin parameter that I described earlier, and ask the question how efficient this align spin PN template family in detecting the sort of generic PN binaries. So these are some results. These are sort of the fitting factor, basically some sort of a cumulative distribution, cumulative histogram of the fitting factor for different cases of total mass and mass ratio. This is the total mass, 2.8 solar mass, 10 solar mass, and 20 solar mass, each column. And the top row is mass ratio 1. And it's mass ratio 4 and mass ratio 10. This sort of fitting factor range is 0.5 to 1, basically. So basically, this plot shows that, and this sort of vertical dashed black curve is the canonical value of 0.97, which corresponds to a sort of loss of event rate of 10% due to the mismatch. So this says that basically almost all the generic spinning binaries in the equal mass regime, equal mass case, can be detected with aligned spin PN template family with fitting factor greater than 0.97. This is true for the entire equal mass case. But as you sort of increase the mass ratio, then the precision effect becomes more dominant. Then you will be able to detect only sort of lesser amount of binaries with this aligned spin templates. So for example, in the case of mass ratio 4, you can detect 0.8 sort of fraction or 0.8 or actually 0.8 or 80% of the binaries with the aligned spin templates. And if you get a mass ratio of 10, then you will be able to detect only 60%. And it's interesting to see what kind of spin configurations produce these sort of low fitting factor, or presumably these correspond to some highly precising configurations in the spin parameter space. So this shows the initial spin of the two black holes. Fortunately, the resolution is not so good. So this is sort of the X and Y and Z component of the spin of each black hole. This is the sort of lighter black hole, and this is the sort of heavier black hole in the mass ratio 4 configuration. And the color shows the fitting factor, basically. So interestingly, you see one sort of corner of the parameter space where the fitting factor is very small. As you could sort of expect, it's only the spin of the bigger object that contributes to this evolution and doesn't really depend on the spin of the smaller object. And if you sort of project it out in sort of the x z plane and spin, then you see this sort of particular region where the spin angle is sort of close to anti-aligned, but not exactly with the orbital angular momentum. This is sort of minus z axis. So you can actually look at this waveform. So predominantly, this particular spin angle, where sort of like pi by 4 from this minus z direction, seems to be the most sort of precise configuration. So you could look at this waveform where, so these are the PN waveforms, instantaneous amplitude and the frequency of different waveforms where I basically change this sort of spin angle from minus z direction to close to z direction, close to x direction. So sort of zero is the sort of extremely perfectly anti-aligned sort of direction minus z. And the angle pi by 2 is the parallel to the orbital plane. So you do see that this is the waveforms corresponding to this particular spin angle is sort of the green and purple, green and cyan ones. And interestingly, you see these are the configurations where which undergo a lot of precession. In particular, this involves waveforms involve flips of orbital plane due to very high precision. So you see that the orbital frequency basically becomes sort of changes sign, which basically corresponds to a flip of the orbital plane. So the summary is that aligned spin templates seem to be promising in sort of most of the spin configurations, at least in the comparable mass regime. But for high mass ratios in the high sort of high precision configurations, they are less effective in detection. Okay, that's all about the template construction part. There has already been a lot of work in understanding the systematics of constructing hybrid waveforms and alternative ways of constructing the phenomenological waveform. In particular, this paper by Santa Maria and Frank Comey et al. So they investigate some alternative ways of constructing hybrid waveforms, for example, in the frequency domain. So they use the sort of 3.5 PN accurate Taylor F2 phase, just in the stationary phase approximation, with 3 PN amplitude corrections. And they investigated with this with a different set of simulations, including BAM, LAMA, KT, and SPEC waveform in the mass ratio less than 4 regime. This is an example how they do. Basically, they take an FFT of the numerical simulation, which they actually can compute from the Psi-4 directly, and generate the PN waveforms in the Fourier domain and do the matching, the NR PN matching in the Fourier domain, and they construct these hybrid waveforms. And there has also been an effort to construct an alternative sort of way of constructing the phenomenological temporal family, which is described in this paper. So some of the sort of details of the investigations of the systematic error in the hybrid waveform construction. So this plot shows, so what Frank does here is basically choose a particular matching region where they assume that both calculations are valid. And they basically change various sort of extrinsic and intrinsic parameters of the PN so that it will get a best match with the numerical waveform. So this basically, the horizontal axis is the sort of the matching frequency that they use. And the vertical axis is the sort of width of the matching window in frequency that they use. And then they vary sort of the initial phase and the sort of time shift between these waveforms. And they find sort of the minimum configuration, which sort of give the minimum amount of these parameters. So the color shows this contour shows the minimum they get from these parameters. So this sort of provides a way of finding some internally consistent way of finding some appropriate matching region and matching window and parameters. And Frank also has investigated the effect of the numerical accuracy in the hybrid waveforms. For example, this plot shows the overlap between two hybrid waveforms constructed from two different sort of essentially the same numerical simulation with different resolution. And it turns out that the match is sort of very good, sort of greater than 10 to the minus 3, I believe, almost always. And this is 10 to the minus 3 and 10 to the minus 2. He also sort of investigated the effect of different positronian approximants in the construction of hybrid waveforms. So what he did was to construct hybrid waveforms using different PN approximants and computing the overlap between them. And it turns out that with the sort of length of numerical simulation that is sort of used for this calculation, the difference between different PN approximants is actually predominant at, in the case of low masses. So for more information, you can listen to Frank's talk tomorrow, I believe. There are also similar investigations done by different people, which sort of look for PN and numerical liberty comparison in the case of different mass ratios and spins and et cetera. For example, Mark has done a sort of comparison of equal mass non-processing, including non-spinning binaries. And sort of the conclusion is that the Taylor T4, which was originally found to be agreeing very well with the Caltech simulation in the equal mass non-spinning case, it's continued to agree very well for all the mass ratios available in the non-spinning case. But in the spinning case, the consistency is sort of not regular. And it turns out that the Taylor T1 is the sort of the most robust in the sort of spinning case for all spin values. And the numerical simulations and PN amplitude are accurate within in the amplitude, like little less than 4% for all sort of non-spinning alliance spin case. And also, Mark has done some investigations about sort of asking the question, what is sort of the minimum length that you need to minimum length for the numerical simulators that you need to get construct sort of reasonably accurate hybrid waveform. So the way he did was to construct different hybrids by basically varying the matching frequency between the PN and numerical liberty, and compare these different hybrids. And sort of you can this plot shows the mismatch between hybrid constructed with different matching frequency, which is shown in the legends, with some fiducial, you know, good waveform where he matches the NR waveform with the PN waveform quite early enough. And the conclusion that he makes from this is that for the equal mass non-spinning case, four orbits are sufficient to produce fitting factors greater than 0.98 between different hybrids in the case of initial or enhanced LIGO, I believe. For more information, you can listen to Mark's talk today. There also has been some effort to construct a phenomenological family of waveform modeling generic persisting binaries, led by Riccardo Sturani. So the idea is that they evolve a positronian spiral waveform in the sort of Taylor T4 approximation up to some phenomenological merger frequency, like here, which you sort of determine empirically. And in order to model the merger part, they use a sort of phenomenological approach where they introduce a number of free parameters, and they are constrained by matching to numerical liberty and sort of ensuring that the phase and its derivatives are continuous across the matching region. And then you attach ring down, sort of several quasi-normal modes to the end of this in-spiral waveform, long in-spiral waveform. This is sort of motivated by the EOBNR approach. And the phenomenological parameters are currently estimated from just equal mass simulations done by Georgia Tech, a handful of them. So it's not clear how well this can be extrapolated to, you know, unequal mass ratios, where presumably the precision effects are more dominant and you have much more richer structure in the waveform. And currently, it has overlaps between 0.95 and 0.99 with this equal mass, a handful of equal mass numerical simulations. You can listen to more about this work by Ricardo Sturani tomorrow or so. This plot shows the consistency of the this phenomenological waveform with the equal mass precessing spin simulation. This is h of t and the sort of the orbital frequency, the frequency, and the orbit waveform. Finally, before I conclude, I would like to make a few statements, few comments about, or few points about the ongoing collaboration of the numerical relativists and analytical relativists. So the idea is that in order to actually accurately calibrate the analytical models, we do need a large number of fairly accurate and long numerical simulations covering the sort of a large parameter space of binary black holes, which might not be possible to do by a few groups or one group. So the idea is that basically sort of split the simulation effort between different groups, and the analytical relativists will get together to form basically a collaboration which will sort of promote a sort of more uniform approach to calibrate these their analytical models to this large family of accurate simulations, and develop in time for the accurate template families for the searches for gravitational waves in the sort of LIGO-Virgo enhanced and advanced timescale. So NSF has made available some like 11 million CPU hours in the TeraGrid machine Kraken, and people have started using this from April, which will last at least by the sort of end of the summer. And the NR groups are already also sort of encouraged to use their own resources and contribute the waveforms to this repository. And the idea is that these waveforms will be made public after a few years' timescale. And the current status is that 14 NR groups have joined the NRAR collaboration, and the first simulations have started at the beginning of April, and the several runs are in progress. This is sort of the first stage of waveforms that are being explored. And I'm already in the conclusion. So the summary is that there has been some steady progress in the construction of analytical IMR waveforms inspired by numerical relativity and calibrated to numerical relativity. And we do need more numerical simulations and calculation of higher order PN terms, especially the ones involving spins, to basically compute accurate waveforms, construct accurate inspired measuring done waveforms. And the NRAR effect, ongoing NRAR effect, will provide a large collection of numerical waveforms, which can be used to calibrate and tune analytical templates, as well as they will provide useful sort of waveform catalogs for which can be used for the future NINJA efforts. There also has been a lot of effort to sort of quantify the systematics of PNNR matching and hybrid waveform construction and the minimum length of numerical simulations, et cetera. And I think sort of the future would be to sort of basically widen the parameter space, including the high harmonics in the waveforms and more generic spins, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I think I'm concluding my talk here. Thank you.
Okay. Have you done anything about the modes beyond the 2-2?
Not so far. So actually, you will be talking about an EOB approach, which will include the higher order modes. So they have already one paper which tries to calibrate the sort of the full EOB model, includes the higher harmonics in the waveform model and calibrate against one simulation.
Because you've got four nines in that faithfulness.
I'm sorry?
You've got four nines in that faithfulness, which means that obviously the next modes are...
No, this is just the 2-2 mode. But there is already a work done by EPAN and collaborators, which include the higher modes in the in the waveform construction in the EOBNR model. I don't know the sort of exact details of this work, but I think EPAN is going to talk about this tomorrow. Probably you can come in.
Hold on.
So this is a question to Ajith and I guess also to others in the audience who simulate and hybridize these things. To what degree is the non-spinning equal mass up to maybe mass ratio of 5 or 10 to 1 problem solved?
I think it's mostly a question to the numerical relativists.
No, because I need waveforms that go all the way from 10 or 20, 30 hertz up to merger over the whole mass range. So I need the hybridized full versions in order to do a search, right? What sense is that problem solved?
I think for the equal mass case, it's extremely so. The Caltech Cornell simulation, which is fairly long and really accurate within the numerical errors, have excellent consistency with the Taylor T4 approximate. So in that sense, if you calibrate your model against that simulation, that basically says that equal mass problem is solved. And to the level of accuracy that is produced by the numerical codes with the unequal mass case, these hybrid waveforms are fairly close to these waveforms. But the question I think you can ask is how accurate are these numerical simulations at mass ratio 4 or 10? There are not many simulations at mass ratio 10.
To give a bit more background on this, part of the reason that this question comes up is that the recent LSC Virgo meeting, we were looking at people have coded up these various phenomenological waveforms, and there's been two versions of the phenomenological thing and two versions of EOBNR. And comparing first to second version, the amplitude is different by 20 or 30%, right? So that to me is not a solved problem.
Yeah.
Are we sure that the current versions we have are not going to change by that much again?
We are fairly confident that in the equal mass case, they won't change very much. But again, as you said, the higher mass ratio is like an extrapolation. And we are posing some answers on these three parameters, which need not be correct. So they have to be verified by very high mass ratio simulations.
As always, I can't resist throwing in my own opinion in such questions. I would think the unequal mass, no spin case is fairly well under control. So I would be surprised if I saw big future changes. But in the same hand, on the same page, I'm given its importance, I think we need to do a more careful study that indeed everything is correct. So we would need more accurate unequal mass waveforms and actually make sure that what he said earlier is indeed the correct answer.
Chair priority, let me ask a question then. So has anybody computed the overlap between these hybrid phenomenological waveforms to see whether it matters that there's a 10% difference or not?
Sorry, Nick, what exactly is the question?
Like the different phenomenological waveforms, for example.
Yeah. So the overlap is very good, but the issue is the overlap is rather independent of sort of amplitude scaling of the waveform. So we have in our new paper a plot which shows the overlap with the old family with the sort of the.
Overlap is not the right thing to look at, but what I was saying is, say you inject some signal, now you try to extract it with different hybrid phenomenological waveforms. Does it matter that you're using different ones, or do they all recover the same parameters? Do they all recover the signal?
Others are probably better qualified to answer this, but I believe you can use the different phenomenological, the different hybrids, and recover the simulations pretty well. I don't know that parameters are wonderful, and in particular, this thing that just got highlighted, if the amplitudes can be off by 10, 20, 30%, then your distance estimation is completely shot, right? And so the notion then of using these as standard candles or standard sirens if you don't know the distance to 30%, is gone, right? I think overlaps are pretty decent, though.
So can I just make a comment on the, this amplitude question from the numerical side? That certainly within the mass ratios that have been simulated, which go up to 1 to 6, or even there are 1 to 10 simulations, there's certainly, the amplitude error is certainly not 25%. So this is a, this is coming in somewhere in the modeling. But the numerical waveforms, the amplitude error is, uncertainty is maybe as high as 10% at some points, but certainly not 25%. So that's not a problem. I think Duncan wanted to make a comment on the,
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the key question, Nico, is, you know, it comes to astrophysical interpretation of the searches. In order that we can actually turn around and say, you know, make some statement about the universe, like Steve says, if we're uncertain in the amplitude, you know, if the NR guys have it pinned down, that needs to get into the modeling, and then that needs to get into data analysis. And so when we say, you know, we didn't see any black holes between total mass blah and blah out to X megaparsecs, X doesn't have a 50% error on it.
Yeah, I want to put a comment for the, in particular, the UBNR model. Well, and also for the phenomenological, the first version of the UBNR and the phenomenological waveforms are both 3 years old, I think, more than. So that's, at the time, the amplitude part's not very carefully calibrated because, I mean, it was not considered to be important for the analysis. But I think for the current UBNR waveform, the non-spinning part, info mass, the amplitude at the merger is well under control. I think it, you can get it within 5% or even 1%. I mean, the numerical amplitude at the merger, at the peak amplitude, is just a simple scaling of the mass ratio. So if we have a very accurate equal mass simulation, we can get very good amplitude agreement. And also at low frequency, the factorized sum waveform, most of these very accurate amplitude agreement. So I don't have worry on amplitude part. I think longer numerical simulation for the early phase part is probably more important at this point.
So I think, because this, I think it's a very interesting point why there was this amplitude disagreement, which she has partially explained. I think, so one thing was that as a sign of the times, there was a bit too much emphasis on we have to keep things very, very simple, and data analysis people would say it's the match is very, very important there, everything else doesn't count, and it would have been very, very easy to have a better amplitude accuracy for the first version of the phenom. Would have been no problem at all to do this, but there was just a very strong pressure on keep things as simple as possible, and that's why this has been done. Mm-hmm. And the other issue, which I think is very important to point out, is that when these things are used, for example, for injections, they're usually also injected at mass ratios which are higher than what we have done in the numerical simulations, which maybe, so for certain things may not work so badly, but then if you extrapolate, in particular, the merger amplitude, you can get significant errors from this extrapolation into regions where you haven't actually performed the numerical simulations. And for this first version of Phenom, where already things were too simplified with the amplitude and not very accurate, then this extrapolation into mass ratios which we hadn't simulated, this went completely wrong with the amplitude mm-hmm. error. Mm-hmm. But this is somehow a sign of the times. Yeah. But these problems are gone now.
There is some sort of overemphasis on modeling the phase very accurate, but not the amplitude because of some historic
I realize this has been a LIGO-centric discussion, but I just wanted to make one small point that the requirement on the accuracy, since it's going to be scaling as inverse SNR, these moderate mass ratio non-spinning cases are, you know, very, very far from a solved problem for LISA, obviously. So I just wanted to make sure everybody's clear on that point. In fact, it's kind of a terrifying prospect to think that, you know, what we'll have to be able to accomplish in modeling for sources with SNRs of 10,000, et cetera.
No, completely.
One thing that I think would give, at least me personally, a lot more confidence in the fact that now we do have a very good handle on this amplitude issue is actually a comparison between the most up-to-date versions of the effective one-body waveforms as informed by numerical relativity and the most up-to-date versions of the phenomenological inspiral merge ring down waveforms that Ajis has talked about. And as far as I know, that comparison has not been made yet between the most recent versions. So I'm wondering if Ajit, you or Yi could comment on whether there are any plans to do such a thing. At least at comparable mass ratios, you know, between 1:1 and 1:4, let's say.
Speak loud.
Version control.
We're thinking of adding just two letters at the end to specify the version of Hamiltonian and the flux we use. But if it's not a good idea, I mean, we can use a number. I mean,
just something.
I guess that's probably enough. All right, so yes, I'll say that we have a concrete plan of implementing the most recent version of the OBNR. I think at that time we can make a direct comparison with the most recent.
To answer Elias' question, there is a plan. So as soon as this new OBNR is available in LAL, we will be able to do comparison.
Yeah, to my understanding on this amplitude issue, I mean, the OBNR are written in time domain, and there's no amplitude corrections in them. So, and when the mass ratio is not one, then the amplitude correction, I mean, may give a 10% correction. Whereas in the frequency domain, the phenomenon, apparently what happens is that the frequency domain, the amplitude are resummed in a way that it is more consistent with numerical simulation. I mean, I think the real new EOBNR, I mean, the confrontation with new EOBNR with this resummed amplitudes might really lead to a better agreement. But I mean, as they are coded now in LAL, they're just Newtonian amplitudes. And so, I mean, it's not so, well, I mean, I wouldn't be wondering too much that there is this 10% for, when the mass ratio is not one. I mean, it's plausible.
Yeah, just to sort of add up to this, if you just take post-Newtonian waveform and take the restricted PN waveform and the ones with all the known corrections, then there is a difference of 30% for mass ratio 4. So even in PN waveform, these differences do exist.
So can I ask back, Steve, to throw the question back to you? You said, is the equal mass, the non-spinning case solved? What would you consider solved? How good waveforms would you like to have? Event detection, parameter estimation?
The first thing I would love to have is what Ilya suggested, a clear statement of what we currently have. Right? This would be a wonderful thing. Okay? Honestly, for initial LIGO, enhanced LIGO, and the first few runs of advanced LIGO, where chances are, you know, advanced LIGO, the sort of BNS average range is going to be a couple hundred megaparsecs at design, or the horizon will be 400 or 500. The first runs, we won't be there. We may be at 100 megaparsecs or something, half the sensitivity. If we're going to see things, they're going to have total SNRs around 10, 12, maybe 15, okay? And you know the hand-waving arguments that errors need to go roughly as 1 over SNR, right? So provided we're in that regime in the next few years, I think we're pretty good for the start of advanced LIGO, right? Maybe we'll get lucky and see something with SNRs of 40 and 50, right? I doubt it'll be 100. If we're going to see lots of things with SNRs of 100, we should have seen them. We should have seen them by now, in initial LIGO with SNRs of 10 or 15, right? So they're going to be in that range. So to start with, if you can give me something where statistical errors are larger than systematic errors at SNRs, say up to 20, I'd be pretty happy. And if you can also tell me, or just say, these are the things which are not under control at that level, and just have a clear statement of that, I think it'd be very, very helpful.
Other questions? For Ajit, maybe? No. Okay, well, let's thank Ajit again.
Thank you. Before I stepped on, I wanted to